We're hitting the home stretch of the chapter 15. I'm going to attempt to connect the discussion we had at the close of yesterday evening with the section that we're going to be discussing this morning. And I'm going to request your maximum attention, because I feel that both the subject matter that we're about to discuss and your present life situation, for that matter, anybody's life situation, but even specifically your life situation, is extremely relevant. And if you capture the message, you'll be very happy. And we'd like to see you all very happy. And if you don't capture the message, you can be a little happy, but not as happy, and struggle. So we're interested to see you all happy. And when you become happy, so many other people will become attracted to become happy. Happy devotees of Krishna. And your family life will be happy, and it's the right outcome. So I'm going to outline three things that are, hopefully, they'll be take home with you points. And it relates to the discussion we had yesterday evening. The observation that I was making, that there seems to be a theme in the questions that are being asked. Remember that discussion last night? So the theme is practicing Krishna consciousness conceptually, but not having it touch one's heart. And conversely, how to have the practice of Krishna consciousness touch your heart. So I was indicating that's what you should do, and now I'm going to give you some how-to points. You can take this as instruction. And it will, you see, in the course of this morning, how it connects with the subject matter that we're immediately studying. There are three very important and basic activities in our life as devotees. We chant the holy name. And we receive instructions. How to practice Krishna consciousness, and who is Krishna, and so forth. And another is we associate with devotees. There was some discussion yesterday about how to properly associate with devotees when we see ourselves as inadequate to do so. Each of these three areas, my request, or however you want to think of it, instruction, the teaching that I'd like to impart, is do each of them from the heart. I gave a very specific indication how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur described how to chant from the heart. Did anyone think of that during this morning's chanting? Did it seem to have some effect in the quality of chanting? Not just make sound, but call from the heart. And how do you call from the heart without receiving? First is receiving. Because otherwise you're trying to do from your head, not from your heart. So, rather than repeating the same thing again from yesterday evening, there's no harm to repeat it, but try to chant from the heart by calling, I'll half repeat it, calling for the deliverer of the holy name, that the most merciful of all deliverers of the holy name is Lord Nityananda. He is the direct expansion of Lord Chaitanya, so you can say, Lord Chaitanya, if you like. But Lord Nityananda, madman to deliver the holy name. Madman. Take the holy name. Pure holy name. Not just make some sounds. We're all making some sound. Chant the pure holy name by receiving it. So if you are eager to receive it from the most powerful, merciful Lord Nityananda, and then you call the holy name, that's chanting from the heart. That's chanting. Practice that. From the heart. And then instructions. So we have scripture. And we have spiritual masters. Here Srila Prabhupada is giving himself to you, to each one of us, but it's very personal. It's not impersonal, it's very personal. When you read, this is the second category, when you read Prabhupada's books, or when you're hearing recordings of Prabhupada speaking or your spiritual master speaking, hear from the heart. Receive the message. Prabhupada wrote this for me because it's true. He wrote it for us personally, and read with that spirit. What message is it that Prabhupada wants to give to me personally? And let that touch your heart. And then see what happens when it touches your heart. What I'm saying right now is going to immediately connect with the discussion for the 15th chapter of Canto 1. As we're going through this discussion, practice. Rupa Goswami uses the word anukulyena Krishna anushilana, anushilana. In his introduction to Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada doesn't say the word anushilana, but he uses the word cultivation. Devotion to Krishna is a type of cultivation. And then he says it again and again, cultivation, cultivation. So that's what I'm asking you to do. Cultivate. That's bhakti. Develop your bhakti muscle by practicing receiving the instructions of Prabhupada's teachings from the platform of the heart. Let it, just open your heart and let it enter in. Prabhupada is speaking to me. Hear in that way. Or the explanation, the expansion of those teachings through your spiritual master. Hear that this is for me. From my heart, I'm opening my heart to receive that which this person who cares very much about me is giving to me. It's not information out here. It's change of heart within. Shinvanti gayanti grananti sadavaha. I'm being very explicit on purpose. explicitly, as soon as we're done with giving this kind of, you know, take home from this seminar, we'll go into the verses and their purports and try to hear in that way. Practice, cultivate. Anushilana. Take it within your heart. Hear in that way from the scriptures and your spiritual master, the explanation of the scriptures. And the third is loving exchanges. We spoke yesterday about loving exchanges. So how to practice from the heart loving exchanges? I'm going to request each of you personally, not somebody else, but each of you personally. I mean, other people can do it too, but this is a request for you personally that those of you who have a mentor practice loving relationships in that relationship from the heart. And relationship means you receive and you give and do it from the heart. Practice. I will do it again. The holy name. Practice. Not just making sounds because I'm supposed to do it. Receive the pure holy name. Call out from the heart. Let that touch your heart. And then call out from the heart. Practice that. Cultivate that. Then your bhakti will awaken. Maybe it'll even erupt. But at least it'll awaken. Then scripture. And the teachings that you hear explaining the scripture. Receive it from the heart. This is for you. Prabhupada gives the example that like a person that's in the bottom of a well and they're calling out, help, help. And someone up at the top of the well hears the voice way at the bottom of the well and they lower a rope. Grab onto the rope. It's for you. It's personal. Just grab hold of the rope. They'll pull you up. You don't have to climb the rope. Just grab hold of the rope. And that rope is the instructions. And it's for you. Take it in a personal way. Wow. This person that's not down in the bottom of the well, they want to rescue me out of this well. See what happens. Cultivate like that. The name, teachings, and loving relationships. Start. You can go beyond that, but start at least with those persons who are very carefully, very lovingly, caringly guiding you. The how-to is less important than that relationship. Because you can get all the how-tos in the world and still not go anywhere. Because the essence of Krishna consciousness is loving relationships. So focus on that loving relationship. Cultivate that. Open your heart to that relationship. See what happens. And put those three together. And all of your how-to questions will be answered. And in the verses that we're going to discuss this morning, you'll see the predicament of Arjuna is our predicament, not, you know, carbon copy of the details, but the essence. And how he addresses his situation tells us how we can address our situation. And Prabhupada's wonderful purports are helping us. So my request is, don't wait to practice till tomorrow. Practice this morning. Right now. And we'll go to the Srimad Bhagavatam verses to practice the teachings, receiving teachings from the heart. It's meant for you, each one of us personally. Prabhupada has used this expression many times, that Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is being spoken to by Krishna so that Krishna can speak to us. The example, the mother instructs the daughter by instructing, the daughter-in-law by instructing the daughter. So the mother-daughter relationship is clear. The daughter-in-law relationship is not yet clear. So rather than risking the mother-daughter-in-law relationship, she instructs the daughter in front of the daughter-in-law. So the daughter-in-law can hear. And she doesn't feel hurt. Oh, why is he picking on me? It's instructing the daughter. Similarly, Krishna is instructing Arjuna for the purpose of instructing us. Actually, the instruction is for us. But Krishna is instructing Arjuna. What we're getting here is, how did Arjuna receive? We're getting, as I mentioned yesterday, we're getting the inside look at Arjuna's heart. How did he receive that? Well, we know how he received it from Bhagavad Gita. Krishe vachanam tava. I accept everything that you've said. I'm ready. There was a problem. What's my duty? Solution. Hear from Krishna. Okay, I'm ready. Next problem. Oh, Krishna's gone. Solution. Remember what Krishna said. And what happens when you remember, even in separation, what Krishna said? You feel Krishna's presence. Solution. Now what about our life? We're not Arjuna. But in our life, things are so orchestrated in the material world that whatever, however pious one may be, or good one may be, and nice one may be, and all those things, there's fruits, but then there's always the cycle that things start to disintegrate. And sometimes quickly. Sometimes it's a calamity. Sometimes our life gets shattered. It happens. It's just part of the design of the material world. And what do you do when that happens? It could be a small one. It could be a medium one. It could be a big one. But what do? When we use this phrase in japa retreats, when you're chanting, sometimes chanting is going very nicely. We call that hills. And there's times when your chanting is struggle. We call those valleys. Life is like that. Chanting is like that. Our existence in the material atmosphere, which is where we are, is like that. Now, how are we personally to conduct ourselves when sometimes it's hills and sometimes it's valleys? Particularly when we're in a valley. Generally, when we're on a hill, we don't worry about it. We're just like, you know, complacency. Life is good. But we get more acutely attentive when there's a problem facing us. And there's always problems. It's just a question of how intense it is. That's the reality of our experience. How to address that? The Bhagavatam in this section is giving us wonderful instruction through Arjuna. In Bhagavad Gita, it's Krishna instructing Arjuna. Now it's Arjuna processing Krishna's association. And what he's saying, what he's feeling, is devastated. Crushed. Powerful Arjuna. He can't speak. He's not just, you know, a man. He's a warrior. Crying, crying, crying. Despondent and weak. And his brother, his beloved Yudhisthira, who he would not do anything or not do anything unless Yudhisthira nodded and gave his affirmation, then he would do or not do. So attached to Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira is prying from him. What are your feelings? Why are you feeling this way? And he's disclosing. It's a loving exchange. He's revealing his heart. And his heart says, I'm terribly despondent. Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna this, Krishna that. That's what we heard. And now he's gone. So the pain is separation from Krishna. But that's spiritual. But it doesn't look spiritual. It looks like, no, it looks like material devastation. But it's not. To make this, like, you know, really come home, hit home, we could give examples of problems like that expression I gave you, things that you don't like, and you write so many of them, things I don't like. But it could be, you know, in a very personal way, someone, a relative dies suddenly, or somebody's, you know, they're diagnosed as having cancer, and we know that they're suffering terribly, and we care about the person, and it's hard to bear that. Or somebody that you know, because the economy is crashing, people lost their job. They got their family, they got their house, they got their, and they don't even have the means to take care of all of that, just crumbled. Or there's a wonderful devotee couple, but somehow there's a conflict in their relationship, and it's struggle, and, or you may be the one going through that. Something. It's just the nature of this world. Dukkham ashashvatam. It's the nature of this world. But we all want to be happy, and we want those that are dear to us to be happy. But it's not always like that. Sometimes there's hills, sometimes there's valleys. Even for pious people, it's not a question of sinful and pious. It's just the nature of the place. So now what do you do? If you're a dreamer, you just imagine another situation that's going to be nicer than this one, you go for it. Or, without shelter of Krishna, you get crushed. You become depressed and turn to despondency and bad thoughts and intoxication and madness. You know, passion or goodness, take your choice. But that's not the option that's being offered to us here. The option that's being offered to us is, using Prabhupada's language, in critical times, we're being given instruction how to deal with valleys in life. I'm going to read now the text 27 and parts of the purport. And I invite you once again, open your heart and receive this here. Practice it. Arjuna says, "Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport. Vaishuddha Prabhupada. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but for all time and in all lands." That means us. Not just 5,000 years ago, the relevance is today. At all times. All going into the future, in all lands. It's for everyone. Because Arjuna was in a dilemma. What do I do? Here's this problem. How do I address this problem? Bhagavad Gita being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. So what was, there was specific problem for Arjuna. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Again, it was solved. Problem? Solved. Now we've got another problem. Life has a whole array of problems. After the departure of the Lord from the vision of the earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he was on a hill, but now no strength, no power. What to speak of his feelings of separation from Krishna, everything that he had that made him, in the estimation of others, great was gone by Krishna's own arrangement. He wanted again to remember the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements called life, which embarrass one in some critical hour. So I'll repeat the theme again. Let that touch your heart. What's resonating? Well, it's nice information, but you know, that's Arjuna, and that, what about me? But it's for us. In the very nice verse, you can note it down, from the 10th canto, chapter 2 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice verse where these are prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb, chapter 2. The demigods are praying to Krishna. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet, in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. This is 10.2.31. On disappearance days of our acharyas, this is a nice verse to recite and remember. 10.2.31. Certainly Srila Prabhupada. On that very same boat, it's a contradiction. If you're going to go from this side of the ocean to that side of the ocean, that vessel that carries you from this side to that side is on the end, is on that side. But very mystically, the acharyas leave it on this side, so that you can cross over the ocean with the same boat. That's their mystical compassion. By receiving, emphasize the word, receiving with an open heart these messages, it carries you to the other side of material existence. So Prabhupada left these wonderful messages for us to get on that boat, and just by receiving those messages, we find ourselves on the other side. It's mystical. The very next verse is this verse that says, not the next verse, the when one takes shelter, that padavam plavam asho marari, when one takes shelter of the instructions that one has received coming from transcendence, this ocean of material existence shrinks to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf. Who can't step over that? If you at all can walk, you can step over the water in the hoofprint of a calf. How does that ocean of material problems shrink? Taking shelter, receiving within your heart the instructions that have been left behind. So now connecting this 10th canto verse about acharyas, and remember this is the demigod speaking to Krishna. Krishna also is most merciful, and he leaves instructions for Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, which is meant for us. We take shelter of those instructions. And what happens? This problem shrinks. Because what's the nature of the problem? The nature of the problem is illusion. It's forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the problem. That's material existence. Prabhupada gives a very simple definition of material and spiritual. Listen carefully. Very simple. Spiritual is to see things in relation to Krishna. Material is to see things separate from Krishna. That's the difference. Same thing, in relation to Krishna, spiritual. Separate from Krishna, material. Okay, so here comes a problem. You're walking along the path of life and here comes a problem. Oh my God, here comes a problem. See it in relation to Krishna, or as our discussion yesterday, say yes to Krishna. Here's an arrangement that Krishna is making for me to take shelter of him. I'm not exactly sure how he wants me to take shelter of him. I've never encountered this problem before. But I know in principle, taking shelter of Krishna is the solution to the problem. So that's my faith. And I don't move from that faith of taking shelter of Krishna. Now let me, while I'm in this space of not understanding exactly how to deal with the problem, let me remember Krishna's instructions. Or let me remember Srila Prabhupada's instructions. Let those instructions touch my heart. Then I'll have some indication how to address myself to this particular problem. My dear devotees, please understand, what's happening here is we're getting a roadmap out of material existence, even in the face of problems. Just follow it. It'll get you there. At the other end is a treasure. The spiritual world. Vaikuntha, no anxiety. And we're going along in the path of sadhana bhakti, and here comes a problem. Or a bunch of problems. But it's okay. Because I'm saying yes to Krishna. I have this relationship with Krishna. I trust that relationship with Krishna. Next paragraph from the purport of text 27. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. In other words, this is checkmate. It's not like, okay, that was good for Arjuna because he saw Krishna, but I'm never going to be with Krishna, so it doesn't apply to me. Listen carefully. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord is also an incarnation of the Lord. There's no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. And what happens when you accept the Bhagavad Gita in that way? The Bhagavad Gita is meant for terminating all different types of miseries. Isn't that the Terminator? Is that a movie or something? The Terminator? So Krishna is the Terminator. What does he want to terminate? Material existence. How does he do it? Through his instructions to Arjuna. And we just have to pick up the Bhagavad Gita and not read it as information, but read it as, here comes the Terminator to annihilate my material existence. Let me just receive that through his instructions. Very practical. Very powerful. If we're in the disposition of heart of bhakti, and what is that? Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. We're cultivating our relationship with Krishna. But what about the problems? Yeah, but. What about the problems? This is to deal with the problems. And the solution. Because the problem is our forgetfulness of Krishna. And we forget Krishna. When we forget Krishna, we're thrown into the material world and we have all these problems that are the byproduct of forgetfulness of Krishna. And we're so busy. It's like adjusting the shadow instead of the object that's casting the shadow. You follow? We're so busy with it, so entangled with it, we're not even paying attention to where's that shadow coming from anyway? Where's this material problem coming from anyway? It has a source. Let me go address the source, my forgetfulness of Krishna. How do I do that? Here. Receive from the heart. Just as we heard the demigods say, you are like the brilliant sun. What darkness can exist? Right in the brilliance of the sun. Darkness is dispelled. The problem is dissipated. There's still maybe some practical thing for us to do. That's okay. That's called devotional service. By understanding the predicament that Arjuna is in, we can understand better our predicament and the solution. That's text 27. Going to the 11th canto, this is the first canto we're reading from, chapter 15. Going ahead, in the 11th canto, we referred to this earlier also, chapter 31 discusses the same thing that we're discussing in chapter 15 of canto 1. Only Arjuna was sent by Yudhisthira to go to Dwaraka, same pastime, same storyline, to find out what's Krishna's plan. And Arjuna experienced Krishna's separation. Excuse me, Arjuna experienced Krishna's departure. There also, he's experiencing pain, like we might. Only Krishna's, Arjuna's pain is transcendental. Pain of separation. And what did he do? 11:31:21. Arjuna felt great distress over separation from Lord Krishna, his dearmost friend. But he consoled himself by remembering the transcendental words the Lord had sung to him, which means that we can do the same. Remembrance of Krishna. In his physical absence, yes. By his spiritual presence. The commentary of our acharyas said he was remembering specific verses. You know, like as a child, you maybe teach some children to recite verses from Bhagavad Gita. But ask them what the meaning of it is, they don't know. Sarvadharmam prityaja mam ekam. What does it mean? I don't know. Prabhupada's instruction is for adults, enter into, for those who want to become mature in devotion, enter into the spirit of. Enter into the spirit of. Let it touch your heart. And then to give the explanation, it isn't just your head, it's your heart. You've entered into the spirit of it. Sridhar Swami, great commentator, says, one of the verses that Arjuna was remembering in Dwaraka, feeling the separation of Krishna, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudhoyam nabhijanati lokayam Loko mam ajam avyayam. So Krishna is not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I'm covered by my yogamaya. So Krishna has removed himself by his yogamaya potency. Krishna manifests himself by his yogamaya potency. Krishna has removed himself. Or Jiva Goswami says, one of the verses he was prominently remembering, was mam evaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. 1865. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mam evaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. You will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So what happens when Arjuna remembers those instructions of Krishna? He feels strength and courage and faith from your question yesterday that I will again be with Krishna. Why? Because Krishna promises. And Krishna doesn't break promises. I may break my promises, but Krishna never breaks his promise. I feel safe. What do I have to do? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. And what does Krishna do? Krishna takes us to him. Well, how do I know? So, What we're going to hear coming up is how that doubt is removed. Well, how do I know? We know by direct experience. By this process that is being described, as it worked for Arjuna, it will work for us. We can directly experience the spiritual presence of Krishna now, at any time. Not just 5,000 years ago, and we have to wait for the next time Krishna appears. I'm tempted to break again, because these points are very important, but I'm going to continue. And hopefully we'll finish. I'm excited about this section of the 15th chapter because it's so valuable, so practical, so meaningful, so personal, so kind, so touching, so caring. We just receive it in that way. So now, texts 28 and 29. These two go together. 27 says Arjuna starts to think of Krishna's instructions that he heard from Govinda and the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now what happens when he hears in the proper way? Sutta Goswami says, thus being absorbed in thinking of the instructions of the Lord, which were imparted in great intimacy of friendship, and in thinking of Krishna's lotus feet, Arjuna's mind became pacified and free from all material contamination. Vimala is the word that's used. Free from all material contamination. Arjuna's constant remembrance of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna rapidly increased his devotion. And as a result, all the trash in his thoughts subsided. What's the trash? The trash is seeing things that Krishna interact with the devotee as a problem instead of service. Or a lesson of the material world. The lesson of the material world is it's not a fit place to be. And that message comes in the form of a problem. Adiatmaka klesha, adidaivaka klesha, adibhautaka klesha. You're not meant to be here. This isn't a fit place. Let me return to Krishna. In the purports, I'm going to read two sections from the purports of 28 and 29, where meditating upon Krishna's instructions in this mood of feeling Krishna's separation, like that's what's really the situation in the material world, we're deluded into thinking we're separate from Krishna. Because we want to think of ourselves separate from Krishna, so it's facilitated by the illusory energy, the deluding potency. Prabhupada writes, the Lord is like the sun. The sun's appearance means immediate dissipation of darkness or ignorance, and the Lord's appearance within the mind of the devotee can at once drive away the miserable material effects. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended constant chanting of the holy name for protection from all contamination of the material world. It's like a commercial or something. Stronger than dirt. But it has to touch the heart. So here in the next purport, we're going to hear Prabhupada use those very words. Material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination, they accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. I'll explore that a little bit. But when we get in touch with the transcendent Lord, this is my message to you this morning. Get in touch with Krishna. Dial the Krishna channel. Don't chant absent-mindedly. Be present. When you're chanting, be present with Krishna, because Krishna is present, so don't be absent. Be present. Think of that phrase. Let it resonate and resonate. Be present with Krishna. Like when you're with another person. Supposing somebody comes to your home to see you. You should give them your undivided attention. Be present with them. Supposing somebody comes and you're just like, you know, fooling around. And looking at your book. And, hey, man, you know, can you pay attention for a minute? Oh, yeah, okay, just then. It's insulting. It's rude. When we're calling Krishna's name, be present. You're inviting him. You're invoking. It's Hare Krishna. It's vocative. You're calling. So be present. Let the presence of Krishna touch your heart. He's so kind. He's making himself available. That's Mahaprabhu's teaching, isn't it? He's so kind. He has hundreds and millions of names. And in each and every one of his names, he's invested all of his transcendental potencies. And there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. He's so approachable. And we're absent? You got a sign in the door that says, out to lunch. Don't knock. Although we called him. Be present. And the very language Prabhupada uses here. This is the medicine. This is the antidote for our problems. It's called material existence. It's called trash of material existence. How to get rid of that trash of material existence? It's the desires to enjoy independently from Krishna. We just have to get in touch with the transcendent Lord. And I've outlined three things. There's five things mentioned in Nectar Devotion. I'm giving you three of them. Scripture, the holy name, the association of devotees. Most potent. Rupa Goswami says, if you do even one of them without offense, you'll experience bhava bhakti, ecstasy and love of God. Durdaivivam. Idrisha Mahajani Nadaraga. Well, we don't have any attraction for these things. So unfortunate. But this is a very nice, slow step by step process of the how-to question. How to get in touch with Krishna, once again. In his variegated energies. Nijasarva Shaktis. By devotional service. The naked forms of all material desires, which have become manifest, and the intelligence of the living being is pacified by its true color. As soon as Arjuna turned his attention towards the instructions of the Lord, as they are inculcated in Bhagavad Gita, his true color of eternal association with the Lord became manifest, and thus he felt freed from all material contaminations. This section is so important that our acharyas make special commentary about it. Jiva Goswami, in several places in his Sandarbhas, refers to it. It's a special section. There are many special sections of the Bhagavatam. This is one of them. Sridhar Swami mentions that these two verses indicate that Arjuna's mind was settled by devotion to Krishna. Jiva Goswami comments in his Bhakti Sandarbha that in the previous chapter, chapter 13, which is chapter 15, but we summarize chapter 13. Vidura is speaking to Dhritarashtra in chapter 13. And Narada is speaking to Yudhisthira in chapter 13. Both of them are giving the same instruction. Dhritarashtra, what's your problem? Yudhisthira, what's your problem? You're out of touch with spiritual reality. That's your problem. And as a result, you're attached to some material thing. The material thing is not the problem. It's your attachment to that material thing. It's your detachment or disconnect from the personality of Godhead. So by the powerful words of Vidura, Dhritarashtra got straightened out. By the powerful words of Narada, Yudhisthira got straightened out. By the powerful words of Krishna, Arjuna is getting relieved of all the grief that was his problem, separation from Krishna. In the list that we heard yesterday of Arjuna's feelings towards Krishna, and how he was so kind to the Pandavas, but now he's gone. The sense of the of each of these, Dhritarashtra, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, is the sense of happiness is to depend upon Krishna. Because he had forgotten his relationship with Krishna in the full sense of full dependency upon Krishna, he was feeling great distress. But now he's feeling relief. Because his dependence upon Krishna was again fully in his consciousness. Now comes a very important, in our teachings of Lord Chaitanya, an important instruction, but it's also very difficult, subtle. And that is the feelings of separation. Feelings of separation enrich the sense of meeting with Krishna. We hear this, but how do we apply that in our case? Because we're not so advanced to feel separation from Krishna. But we're in that space of deluded, having the sense of being separate from Krishna. The secret for us is to desire to again be connected with Krishna or be in our relationship with Krishna. That's how we can cultivate feelings of separation from Krishna. We want that relationship. If we want that relationship, it's not so strong. The want isn't so strong, and the sense of connection is not so strong, but if we want that relationship, that sense of pain of separation from Krishna is there while trying to remember Krishna's instructions or the instructions of the spiritual master. There's some desire to be in our relationship with our spiritual master, but not as strong as we would like it to be. But something is there that amplifies, it assists greatly the direct connection with Krishna. That's real life. You know, today. Not, you know, the imagined tomorrow, but today. How can we cultivate Krishna consciousness? By taking this instruction from chapter 15, canto 1, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada, I'm going to read a part of a section where Prabhupada, from his writings, Krishna book, chapter 35, where he speaks about separation and its importance for sadhakas, you know, like us. Again, this is Prabhupada instructing for our benefit. Chapter 35 of Krishna book, by the way, this is Gopi Leela. It's, you know, way beyond our realm of realization. But Prabhupada is bringing it down to our level so that we can benefit as sadhakas and Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Prabhupada writes, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciplic succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. Krishna's transcendental form, his transcendental qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all identical with him. Devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest perfectional level. So from wherever we are on our trajectory of devotion, it may be way down here, that's okay. If you have understood the goal, even way down here, to be in our relationship with Krishna, cultivate that. I'm so far away from my relationship with Krishna. I don't have any feelings of love for Krishna. That's a feeling. Yes, that's a feeling. Chant with that feeling. Hear with that feeling. Serve with that feeling. Stay with that feeling. And what happens when you chant with feeling? Even that feeling? Quality of chanting increases. It's a secret. And I'm sharing it with you. Chant with feeling is the message. Take a feeling. Go to the shelf and find a feeling. It's, you know, something that you're feeling. And chant with feeling. And quality will increase. Try it. Chant from the heart. Hear from the heart. Associate from the heart. Try it. Practice it. You're in the realm of bhakti, in the house of bhakti. And it's a whole other realm than the realm of the head. It's the realm of the heart. Devotion. Almost done. Well, almost done. In Jiva Goswami's Preeti Sandarbha, mentioned previously Bhakti Sandarbha. So Preeti, affection, love, Preeti Sandarbha. He speaks on this very verse, text number 28, where this is Arjuna. He's been feeling a problem, and now he's feeling relief from the problem. Because the problem was this trash in the heart. The material contamination of heart of forgetfulness of Krishna, in the shape of forgetfulness of Krishna. Arjuna became peaceful. The word that's used is shanta, but it goes beyond shanta or shanti, like neutral, peace. He's positively experiencing as if Krishna was present again. This is Jiva Goswami's explanation. As if Krishna was present with him again. Before his eyes, seeing Krishna. Vimala. All material contamination was gone. And as a result, he directly saw Krishna. Going to text 21 of this chapter. Brahma Sampatya. He was directly seeing the personality of Godhead, although Krishna had left. So what was that seeing? It wasn't the same kind of seeing as material seeing is. But it was seeing. Like we, Prabhupada gives us this phrase, Shastra Chakshush. Seeing through the eyes of scripture, or jnana chakshus, bhakti chakshus, he was seeing Krishna. Then, Arjuna might have had a doubt. Maybe I'm just deluding myself. It's just in my mind. I'm feeling better because it's just some temporary thing with the mind. It's not really that I'm seeing Krishna and with Krishna. Beyond that doubt, Sutta Goswami is describing, or Vyasa is writing, that because he had attained the Supreme Lord's association, he had that direct experience. Just like Bhakti Parashano Bhavo Viraktir Anyatracha, that verse that compares the eating process to the bhakti process. When you're eating, you're hungry. You've been fasting for some time. And you start eating. Somebody doesn't have to tell you what's happening. You can tell them what's happening. Now you're feeling your hunger is subsiding. Repeat after me. You feel it. You feel strength coming back into your limbs. And tushti, you feel satisfied. Somebody says, no, take some more sabji. No. They don't have to tell you, no, you shouldn't take some more sabji. How about some sweet rice? No. I'm feeling full. You feel it. Someone doesn't have to tell you. It's your direct experience. Bhakti is like that. When you're in bhakti, in devotion to Krishna, you can experience Krishna directly. Just like the first chapter of Nectar Devotion. The characteristics of pure devotional service. Yes? Chapter 1. There's the first two of those six characteristics of devotional service. They are the benefit or the fruit of sadhana bhakti. That's what we're doing. Kleshagni and Shubhada. The sufferings of material existence are mitigated, and Shubha, the awakening of auspiciousness. What auspiciousness isn't material auspiciousness. It's transcendental. You're experiencing Krishna. Directly. Direct contact within the heart. And then this kleshagni, the destruction of kleshas, is a byproduct. The sun is there, darkness is gone. When you're in devotion to Krishna, Krishna is touching your heart, your problems of material life are solved. Because the real problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. It's the permanent solution. Remember at a lecture in New York, Prabhupada was explaining this for our little Western pea brains. He was giving the example of the goldsmith method and the blacksmith method. It was very nice. He said the goldsmith method, they have a little hammer, and they go tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap. He made the sound, tap, 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 tap. That's the goldsmith method. The blacksmith method, make a big fire, bellows. Big fire. Put the iron in the fire, put the iron on the anvil, this hammer goes, comes down, thud, boom. One stroke, everything is finished. That is bhakti process. Not this tap, tap, tap. So many unlimited adjustments of life, and it's still the same situation. We're still suffering. One method. Blacksmith method. Bellows. Make it red hot. Put it in the anvil on the fire. Boom. Everything is finished. And we said the same thing. Haribo. Prabhupada Kijai. But we have to follow the process, not just from their head, but from the heart. Receive this message within the heart. And then we'll know for sure. It's not just in the mind. It's Krishna is with us. Krishna is present. We're feeling it. Prabhupada goes on to explain that actually disconnection with Krishna is not possible. Illusion makes us feel that disconnection is possible because we wanted it, so we're deluded into thinking it's possible. And then we have things like the discussion yesterday that said we're attached to the sources of our suffering, although nobody likes suffering. Yes, that was one of the questions. But that's illusion. But that's the nature of illusion. It's like chasing after water in the desert. Seeing the mirage. Yes. That's material life. We're chasing after happiness in a place where there's no happiness. It's a mirage. It looks like happiness, but it keeps eluding us until we're drawn into the desert of material existence and we die unhappy. Or deluding ourselves that, oh, it was okay. We had a nice trip into the desert. Life is a journey. And there are philosophers that speak like that. What's the goal of the journey? No goal, just journey. Like Professor Durkheim, what's the fruit of knowledge? No fruit of knowledge, just knowledge. Knowledge for knowledge's sake. Prabhupada said, no. Practical. Knowledge for what purpose? What's the goal of our life? What are we seeking? What is that place that's called happiness? Well, there's no place that's called happiness, just journeying, searching for happiness. Or give it a name, sense gratification. But is that happiness? The senses contact the object of the senses, what happens? Is that happiness? If that's happiness, we should have a lot of happy people in the world. We have a lot of unhappy people in the world. Doing very unhappy things to themselves and to others. If sense contacting sense objects, what Bhagavad Gita teaches that's the source of dukkha. It's the illusion. But the material desires are impelling us. I'll go back to this one phrase that Prabhupada used. Profound. The accumulation of our material desires in the mind are the trash of material contamination. They accumulate due to our reactions to material desires. Hey, wait a minute, what's going on? It's a self-perpetuating system. There's the initial and there's the subsequent material desire. What's the initial material desire? I want to enjoy apart from Krishna. So when we look at that desire, if we say, oh, I want to embrace that one. I want to enjoy apart from Krishna. What's the fruit of that? More material desires. So how we react, how we respond, here comes this material desire. So now we're going down in our life. We're going down the path of life. And here comes a material desire. How do we respond to it? Are we going to say yes to the material desire or yes to Krishna? If we say yes to the material desire, it implicates us in more material desire, more trash in the heart, more suffering. It's that simple. And if we say yes to Krishna, then it's just an opportunity to serve. We don't have to act on that material desire. Not at all. In fact, it's just illusion. Being more graphic, it's cheating. It's robbing us. It's a bandit, a thief, a robber, a dacoit coming to plunder us. And we're going, here, take all my money. And I'll be happy. And that's happiness. We're being cheated. The real happiness is being lost. So we have to make the proper choices. Bhagavatam is helping us to make the proper choices. This connection with Krishna or from Krishna is impossible. Yet by Maya's influence, we are deluded into accepting the duality of separate existence. Yesterday, I want to speak about this again. This idea of strong and weak. And the strong exploit the weak. That just being a product of our desire to enjoy apart from Krishna. So sometimes we may be strong. We're exploiting the weak and thinking that's happiness. Then the unhappiness is we're being exploited. Sometimes it's a hill, sometimes it's a valley. It's all illusion. From Krishna's perspective, he's permitting that illusion, but he doesn't want. He's forever inviting us, come out of that illusion. It's very profound. This illusion of Maya has an alternative. And that's our taking shelter of Krishna. In devotion. Taking the words of Krishna, letting them enter our heart. That's how we cultivate devotion. As Arjuna is explicitly doing here. As soon as Prabhupada writes in his purport to text 31. Almost done. As soon as Arjuna took up the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, expert as he was, he could at once eradicate the material conception of Lord Krishna, his eternal friend. He could realize that the Lord was still present before him. Even after he left? Yes. By his instruction. By his form, by his pastimes, by his qualities, and everything else related with him. So we don't have that direct experience. But we can hear from those that have that direct experience, and that's what Prabhupada calls the mystery of disciplic succession. It's mysterious, but Krishna is present. And one can factually experience it. Just like by eating. Hunger is gone, strength is returning. You're feeling satisfied. One can see him. One can feel his presence. Even in this present life. Simply by understanding the Advaya Gyan of the Lord in devotional service. I'm going to read one last section and we're done. Text 30 in the last paragraph of the purport. Arjuna, this is Bhagavad Gita and battlefield and post-battlefield. Arjuna had no desire to fight with his relatives, but he fought for the mission of the Lord. He was always engaged in the execution of his mission only, and therefore, after the Lord's departure, he remained in the same transcendental position, even though it appeared that he forgot the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore adjust the activities of life in pace with the mission of the Lord. And by doing this, one is sure to return back home, back to Godhead. That is the highest perfection of life. Meaning, life is a series of hills and valleys. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes things are going very well. Sometimes all that's going well, all of a sudden, it's gone. Our face is in the mud. And we don't know what happened. What to do? Or, it's a milder form of that. And what to do? Don't make the mistake, using the example that Prabhupada gives of a drowning man grasping for some straws. The straws may save me. Don't make that mistake. The problem is forgetfulness of Krishna. Turn your by practicing today these three things that I have given you to work on, it will give you the focus, the strength, the conviction, the satisfaction, the experience, so that when problem arises, you'll be able to face it with strength, with conviction, with courage, with spiritual vitality, because of loving relationships, because of the holy name, because of the instructions, the infallible instructions of Achyuta, the Supreme Lord. You'll be protected. You'll be safe. And by continuing to accelerate that process, return to the spiritual world. And in between, experience Krishna's presence. There's a long how-to answer. How to act, because back to the initial remarks, how to go from conceptualizing, accepting Krishna consciousness within the mind, to accepting Krishna consciousness in the heart, and experiencing it, as Arjuna is showing us by his example. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.